pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Manifest on mountain height, shining in resplendent light, where disciples filled with awe thy transfigured glory saw. When from there thou leddest them steadfast to Jerusalem, cross and Easter day attest, God and man has been made manifest. Today, as we celebrate the last Sunday of the Epiphany, today we'll hear the story of the Transfiguration. A little lectionary knowledge for you. Here's for the later on quizzes that you have about the lectionary. The Transfiguration is the only story that you will hear, guaranteed to hear, twice a year. It's always the last Sunday of Epiphany, and then it's thrown in randomly, either the first or second Sunday of August. I don't know why, but there you go. A little knowledge for you in terms of your revised common lectionary and how it works. Today, I don't often title my sermons. In fact, it very rarely happens. But today, I entitled my sermon, Snap Back to Reality. And the reason why I entitled it that is because of a hymn. Well, not really a hymn, let's be honest. It is a song from Eminem. And I think he really does a good job of wrapping up what happens for us when we get to the mountaintop and we come back down. He says this, snap back to reality, oop, there goes gravity. Oop, there goes rabbit. He's choked, he's so mad, but he won't give up that easy, no. He won't have it. He knows his whole back's to these ropes. It don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant. He knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again. Yo, this old rhapsody. Better go capture this moment and hope it don't pass him by. Then what's the next line? Snap back to reality. Oop, there goes gravity, right? In today's gospel lesson, we hear from Mark about Peter, James, and John going up the mountain to experience what can only be described as the high-reaching glory of seeing Jesus transcended into an image that none of them could have ever expected to see. Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. What do you do with that? Well, I'll tell you what you do with it. If you're three fishermen who are completely astounded and awestruck, who sees the mystified glory of the sheer brilliance of Jesus with Moses and Elijah, do you know what you do? You ask to camp there. You say, hey, can we just hang out here for maybe like 100 or 200 years? Can we just stay here and do this forever? Because you have to remember something. Context is king in the scripture. And the context of this passage is that immediately preceding this passage, Jesus asks the disciples, who do people say that I am? And some say Elijah, and some say a great prophet. But Peter says something, and he's the first to publicly say it. He says, you are the Messiah. Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah after being asked who the people say that he is. Well, after that, they're led up to the top of the mountain. To the top of a mountain where Jesus reveals himself for who he truly is in his resurrected form. And people are struck by it. But there's different types of mountaintops. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said in his last speech the day before he was murdered to the sanitation workers of Memphis in his mountaintop They call it his mountaintop speech. The very last paragraph of that speech says this: "While I don't know what will happen next, we've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop, and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. For my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." There is power in the mountaintop. There is joy and peace on the mountaintop. You might just be like Peter, James, and John and want to camp in that glorious experience forever, to sit in the Shekinah glory of God. Some of you have had those experiences with God. Some of you have had those experiences of love where you would just like to bask in it forever. But life doesn't work like that, does it? It isn't the way of love to stay there forever. See, Jesus is revealed in his resurrected glory and then turns his face towards Jerusalem, turning his face towards his own death. He is emboldened on the mountaintop and empowered and reminded that he has a purpose: to be the Lamb of God, to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world once and for all. See, the mountaintop is a place of refreshment before we go to battle, before the storm of life, before we head back to the darkness. Like MLK in his prophetic statement, "I have been to the mountaintop," right, he says. "I've seen the promised land, and my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." What does he say? "But I'm not concerned about that now." Why? Because he was concerned about the sanitation workers in Memphis who were not being treated well. He was on that mountaintop, but he saw the face of the people who were suffering. Jesus is ascended in all of his glory, is revealed to Peter, James, and John with Moses and Elijah, and all is good. But Jesus knows what's next. I would love to have been able to sit there, to rest in that shining example of Jesus for all of eternity. And one day we will. But first, we have to dispatch the clouds as we go up the mountain. We have to let my frustrations, anxieties, fears, grievances fall below the awe of God. I want that. Do you want that? Do you want to be free from the pressure to perform? Free from the feelings of doubt, uncertainty, bitterness, paranoia, stubbornness, misery, hate, fear, rejection. Those things that accompany us in this life. Because see, on the mountaintop, you are free. On the mountaintop, none of those things are real. You are as free as you could ever be. But then comes the descent. Melinda and I went to Vancouver a number of years ago. We went on a gondola ride up to the top of a mountain. It was the end of June. We were walking on a glacier. It was glorious. It was a mountaintop experience. I was like, I could be here for a long time. And we had the option of taking the gondola down, or we could hike down. Well, Melinda was like, let's hike up and let's take the gondola down. And I was like, let's take the gondola up and then let's hike down. See, because Melinda feels secure going up. If she slips, you don't slide all the way down. You know, you slip, you get your footing, and she wants to make sure she has proper footing. And see, I just want to take five steps and not run out of breath. So, you know, I'm like, if I fall, I'm going to roll all the way down, you know? So whether you ascend, though, or you descend, here's the thing. Your view of the world around you changes. Have you ever made a hike to the top of the mountain, and every 50 foot you look, and it's like a different world that you're seeing? I want to end the sermon with an illustration. Take out from your bulletin the insert, which is Raphael's painting of the Transfiguration. Take a look at it. Look at Jesus. The centerpiece, right? The top center, Jesus revealed. Notice the glory of God shining behind him in the cloud. The cloud that is filled with light, that reminds us of the foretaste of the ascension when he's gathered in the clouds and lifted high. Notice on his left-hand side, Elijah. Notice on his right-hand side, Moses holding the law, right? See below on that mountain top, Peter, James, and John, not even able to look at him because of the glory of his face. Peter, the one with the kind of orange, gold, and blue, covering his eyes, trying to sneak a peek at the glory of God. And if we ended there, it would be beautiful. It would be a majestic painting. It would be something to behold. But see, the painting doesn't end there, because the scripture doesn't end there. We have to snap back to reality. Here comes gravity. We've got to come back down the mountain, because the mountain gives us the power to come back, to go where God is calling us to go. And where does God call us to go but to the sick, the lame, the hurt, the blind, the sorrowful? Immediately after the passage that we read, Jesus descends down, and the disciples are having an argument with one another because there is an epileptic boy, and he is unable to be healed by the disciples. They can't heal him. And Jesus walks down and brings healing to this epileptic boy. You'll see him. He's being held up by his dad, his fingers pointing up, his eyes, right, Troy, his arms convulsed, tightened in a seizure. His mom pointing to him, begging for help from the disciples, on her knee, saying, help, help, help. People around, his family members, some in utter darkness, you can barely see their faces. Others, hands lifted up, looking and asking and crying out to God for help. Do you see the light? Do you see the darkness? Do you see how they mingle together? Do you see the contrast of that bright sunset in the background that casts a long shadow on the darkness of the disciples and the darkness of the family? The apostles and the Pharisees on that right-hand side, they cannot heal. They can't do it, but Jesus can. Jesus comes down, and they're healed. Jesus walks down the mountain, and the very thing that the disciples cannot do, he does. He speaks one word, and the boy is healed. Wherever you are in this story, whoever you are in this story, and by the way, we're probably a lot of everyone in this story, right? Whoever we are, wherever we are, whether we feel like we're in the light or we're in the darkness, whether we feel as if we're reaching out for God, pointing to Jesus, asking for God's help, kneeling in the corner with our hands over our eyes, covered in darkness and recoiling against the glory of God, wherever we are, Christ comes down the mountain And his grace precedes and follows us wherever we go. Lost, confused, and unable to accomplish anything without his presence. That's who we are. So we reach out for Christ. We reach out. We ask for his love and glory to come among us, that our hearts might be softened, and that the experience that we have on the mountaintop might follow us down into the depths of the valleys of our lives, so that we could be prepared for what's to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.